I was asked to give a shiur on dating. I thought that I would entitle it, because I guess that guys have been the parsha, you know, so to speak, right? So, you know, that's the joke, is that the Rivka, you know, said to her parents, I want to start dating. So, you're only 3 years old. She said, yeah, but I'm in the parsha. So, anyway, pasuk that we have in Parshas Kisisa, so it's in Yana Diyoma, because Rashi says that when the Torah was given, the Luchos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that was given Kechal Osol. So he says, if you look at the word Kechal Osol, it's written Chosir, it doesn't have a vav. So Rashi says, Kechal Osol, Chosir, it's written deficient. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu like a Kala, in what sense? That it was given to him as a Matana. Because it can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to learn everything that during all the days that he was up at Har Sinai, to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, to be able to have that kind of mastery of Torah was only possible because it was given to him as a matana. So what's the comparison to Akala? So the comparison is that just like Akala is given as a matana to Chosin. So that has two different analogs with respect to the shir today. Number one, it's impossible, l'mod kula, b'sman mu'at kezeh, they're not going to be able to go through the sugya in its entirety. It's a long sugya, every single shiloh that arises in a dating context. And number two, it also teaches you an important yesod with respect to dating, that no matter how many times, and this is what all the Bali Musar talk about as well, who write a svarim about dating and building a Jewish home. No matter how many times you go out with a girl, you're not going to really figure her out. She's not going to really figure you out before you get married, because there are things you discover about yourselves and about each other after you're married. So you can only do your best, and you have to rely to a great degree on the fact that ultimately a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you your mate, your destined partner in life as a matana. So you can't expect to learn everything, even though you do your due diligence, obviously, but you can't learn everything during the time that, that you're dating. The other thing that Rashi quotes from this pasuk, Vayitena Moshe Kechal Osol, is Ma'akala Miskashetis B'chub Dalet Kishutin, Av Tamachochum Sarach Lios Baki B'chub Dalet Sfarim. Just like there are different takshitin, there are different types of ornaments, jewelry that are described, and I think it's Sefer Yeshayo, with respect to Akala, so 24 different ornaments. So too, a Tamachokam has to be Poki in 24 Svarim Tanakh. What's the connection? What's the comparison? So the comparison in part is that unlike other mitzvahs where we say that as soon as you become, you know, chayv, you become of age, so you got to perform the mitzvah right away. The mitzvah of Nisuin, so the Gemara talks about maybe the age of 18, maybe the age of 20, it's not the age of 13. Why is it not the age of 13? Says the Rashash in Suvas and Dafa Nun, who says, based on a Gemara in Hulin, that there is a question of how many years they have to go by before you could see a bracha in your learning. Some say 3 years, some say 5 years. So when you first start learning Gemara, according to the Mishnah Ovis, you're 15 years old. So therefore, you need to at least have a tefisa in learning. You have to become Baki. The Tchop Da'alat Svarim, you have to become Baki in Tovah Shebiktav, Tovah Shebal Peh. To truly understand the combination of Tovah Shebiktav and Tovah Shebal Peh properly. So therefore, you got to wait a little bit. So you'll be worthy of marriage. You have to become a Talmid Chacham in some measure before you get married. So you have to be at least 18, maybe 20. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Mitzvah Sakatan that a good age to get married is 25. So that's kind of interesting. When I was in yeshiva, a lot of the good guys didn't really start dating until much older, until they were much older than people start dating right now. Because the feeling was that you needed to get more of a tefisa in your learning to become a bigger Talmid Chacham before you really had the wherewithal just to build a Jewish home, to be worthy of building a Jewish home. In Mir, I think that they used to wait a very, very long time. Rav Yankelevich, after Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was a Rosh Yeshiva here at YU, he gave shiurim. He was Nifter something like 8 years ago, something like that. So he gave shiurim at YU until he was 104 years old. 104 years old. He showed up every single day. Nobody ever told him, you know, you're too old to give shiur. So you said, what are you doing, 100 years old giving shiur? He showed up every single day and gave shiur for decades and decades. He was 104 years old. He was still giving shiur. He didn't have many tamidim in his shiur, but he gave shiur. So he was in Mir in Shanghai, and during World War II, he started out learning in Rodin, he learned in Mir, he went to the Chofetz Chaim's Levaya. It was all kinds of interesting stories. When I was the Menahel of the yeshiva, I thought, you know, so many people don't know Rav Yaakov. He was only 98 at that time when I started out as Menahel. Said it's important to expose him to the Talmidei HaYeshiva. Let's have him give a Musa Shmuz about what, during Elozman, he did. What was Elozman like in the Mir? He said, not Mir Yerushalayim, not Mir Brooklyn. You know, Mir, the real Mir. And he got up, and he could have gone for 10 hours. I mean, he was going for like an hour and a half. He was being from Yerucham, and giving Musa insights. And it's on YU Torah. It's beautiful that we were able to capture, you know, a Shir from Rav Yankelevich. So he was in Alta Vocha because they didn't get married so early in those days. So the war was over, and he came to America. He was 40 years old when he got married. He was 40 years old. His wife was 25, and she predeceased him a few years, you know, before he was nifter. She was nifter. Maybe she was 85, I think. I think she was 85, and he was 100 when she was nifter. They had a wonderful family together. They have a daughter who lives in Chicago. She's one of the Rebbetzins in Chicago. So the Chofetz Chaim also said you don't have to necessarily be in such a rush. He said the age of 25 is fine. Later commentaries on the Chofetz Chaim Sefer Mitzvah said he meant 25 in the biblical sense, meaning 25th year, really 24. He meant 24. Okay, but every single person has to know for themselves. But part of the idea of dating is that you should be a person worthy of marriage, that you should know something in terms of Torah. You should have some sort of a tefisa, because the idea of dating is that you want to build a Torah home. Do we have a precedent with respect to dating in the Torah? Rav Schachter once said that, yeah, according to the Ibn Ezra, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, which says, Vayelech ish beis levi, vayikach es bas levi, so it's talking about dating. Rashi talks about that they had separated, Amram and Yocheved had separated, and Miriam got them back together. He says, no, that she was in one city and he was in another city, so he had to travel, he had to get like an Uber, you know, whatever, from, you know, one city to one borough to another borough. In order to go out with Yocheved, it was like a possible precedent for the idea of having a dating relationship. But in addition to that, you have the Gemara Kiddushin, of course, in Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a very important Gemara. The Gemara says that we don't believe in arranged marriages where, you know, the Chosin and the Kala never see each other before they get married. It's important for them to meet each other so that they can have a proper Shidduch and they can make a decision that they really want to marry each other. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. A man's not allowed to betroth the woman. He's not allowed to get married to a woman until he checks her out first. He should see her and see if he likes her. Maybe he'll find something which is unattractive in her. Doesn't mean she's objectively unattractive. It means that with respect to him, that there might be something that will repel him, that he'll consider to be unattractive. It's gone elo. And he won't enchanted with her. Rachman Amar, and the Torah says, a very interesting Gemara. So the Gemara says that the Torah says, Ve'avta l'reicha kamocha, and he'll be in violation of Ve'avta l'reicha kamocha. The ultimate fulfillment on some level of Ve'avta l'reicha kamocha is the person you're living with every single day that you're going to shower your love and affection. So you should have a baseline for that love and affection. You shouldn't make it so challenging for yourself that it'll be somebody that you can't stand to look at. So it should be somebody that you can at least stand to look at. And then it'll be easier to demonstrate the love towards that person, that this is part of the obligation, it's a Torah obligation, that you should see to it, that it's not somebody who would be repulsive to you in terms of her looks, in terms of her presentation. So that's a Gemara. So that requires some sort of a dating preparation. The Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Sama Gimel, says, Masa Nasiv Isiso. It's a very interesting dialectic. Can I use that word? Rav Soloveitchik liked that word. It's a very interesting dialectic. On the one hand, the Gemara says, Masun Nasiv Isisa. It doesn't mean there was a fellow named Masun who married a woman. It means, Masun, you should take your time before you marry a woman, that you should check out and make sure that you're 100% ready before you make a decision. I remember that when I was dating, I dated way too long. But when I was dating, one time I was going out with an Israeli girl. I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and I couldn't make up my mind. I couldn't make up my mind. Couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to do for them. And she turned to me. She's a very, very nice, lovely girl. She turned to me at some point and said, "Why don't you go and ask Chaim Kanievsky?" I didn't go ask her. This is the numbers. What, 25 years ago, whatever it is. You know, how long am I married? I don't know. close to 23 years now. So it's maybe 25 years ago. So she said, go and ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you know, maybe he'll be able to give you good advice. I said, that's a sour tone. That's a good idea. Ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So I went to Bnei Brak. I called Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the hallway after Mincha. He was on his way back, you know, so we had a nice little conversation. I don't know if you can still do that. So I schmoozed with Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I told him about the situation, and that going out, and I can't really make up my mind. How long should I continue dating? And he said, keep on dating until you can make up your mind. Okay, so Masa Nasa Vista, take your time until you can make a reasoned decision. But once a person does make up their mind that they know that this girl is suitable for them, this young lady is suitable for them, so then it really should be done right away. That's what the Gemara Moichatan Daf Yuches of a Beis says, that you can you're not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to betroth the woman on Chol HaMoed, Shemi Yikamenu Achet Barachamin, whatever that means. Maybe somebody else will get to her first. We'll see. How can they get to her first? Such a thing as Bashert? No, the person davens, so they can steal her away, and maybe somebody will die in the process. The Gemara says it's not wouldn't be very, very pleasant. So it's also a good idea to prevent people from dying. You determine that this woman is the right one for you, so you're supposed to do it right away. Look in Parshas Chayisar, what Shechter likes to point out, that once Eliezer realized that Rivka was the right one for Yitzhak, everything was a big rush. And then he said, tell me if she'll come or maybe if now you mean I was small, I need to know right away, otherwise I'm going to leave. And he told her family, don't let me tarry or delay it. This has to be done right away. So you gotta rush it once you make the decision. It's the Pesikta de Rav Kahana. Pesikta de Rav Kahana on the Pasuk of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem takes a Pasuk in Mishlei and reflects this idea. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Tocheles Mushka Machalas Leg. That it says that a person will get a heart pangs if they wait too long. Zem Ares Ishav Nola Lachazman. That's talking about when, in those days, in the early days, it used to be they would separate between the Eris and the Nisun, the betrothal and the marriage. Betrothal is where it says Arayat Mekudesh Yisli and gives her the ring, and then the marriage is under the chuppah, and then he brings her into the Yichud room and he brings her into his house. So we do everything, chick-chack. We do it right away. We have the Mesiras HaDabas, and then we have the Birchas HaNisun, two cups of wine, one after another, and the reading of the Ksuvah in between. Everything takes about 5 minutes. But it used to be that there was like a one, you look at the beginning of the Gemara Ksuvah, so it used to be like a one year intermission between the Eris and the Nisuin. So the Pesikta says, don't wait so long between the Eris and the same thing is true nowadays. Don't wait so long after Shiduchin. My wife and I went out with each other for 7 weeks, and then we were engaged for 7 weeks. And then we got married 7 weeks later. 7 weeks after that, Yehuda Dov was born. No, that's okay. But the idea is that once you know, so you should get married right away. And the next, the continuation of the pasuk says, for Eitz Chaim, Tava Ba, that Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, is if you act right away, that's talking about when a person does Erisin and then they marry the woman immediately afterwards. So that's sort of the introduction to this year. So now that we're done with the introduction, we have the pizza. Pizza is right. Thank you very much. This year, I will speak about the Ten Commandments of dating. I did this a couple of years ago, in the context of a Chabura. I give a Chabura series in Chicago called From the Dayan's Desk. And I had like a lot of different points and principles that I wanted to raise with respect to landlord-tenant halacha. To make it more exciting, I called it the Shia, the Ten Commandments of the landlord-tenant halacha. So, gave it some sort of a context, and I spoke about 10 years. But it occurred to me, as I was thinking about all the different issues relating to dating, that it really does, mamish, relate to the Ten Commandments, to the Aseres HaDibros. So I thought that I could go through 10 different points of general categories of discussion in the half hour that we have, a little less than a half an hour, to see if we can pull that off, that all relate to dating in the context, actually, of the Aseres HaDibros. So the first of the Aseres HaDibros is Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. To recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the process. The Gemara says that Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, says that we can derive from Psukim in the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Kesuvim this idea of Me'Hashem Yotza HaDavar. That there's an idea of what we call Besheret when it comes to dating, when it comes to marriage. That the Gemara at the beginning of Sotah says, Avim Yom Kam Yisiras HaVlad, 40 days before the blood is conceived. Basko Yotzeis Ve'Omeres Bas Ploni LePloni, that it's decreed which woman from which family is going to marry which man. So the Gemara says that this seems to be a little bit in contradiction to the idea that's also expressed in the Gemara in Sota, Ein Mizakin Odom Elefi Maso, that a person only gets to marry according to their good deeds. Another good reason why you should learn lots of Torah before you get married, so you'll have the schus for a good shidduch. Rashi says, what does that mean, that you get a good shidduch? Talking about a good shidduch. What does that mean? That if you're a good person, you get a good shidduch. So he says, if you're a tzaddik, you get a tznua. The definition of a woman who's considered to be an ideal mate, a good shidduch, is a woman who's a tznua, who's a modest woman. And what's the idea of a bad shidduch? A bad shidduch is a futza. It means a woman who's very loose, who's very licentious. So that's considered to be a bad shidduch. That's what goes to a rush. It's probably what a rush wants. But it's not considered to be a good thing. It's considered to be a bad thing. So the Rambam notes that if we accept the idea of Besher, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to force a person to do an Aveira, that they're going to get a woman who's a Prutza if they don't deserve it. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to give a person a great wife if he doesn't deserve it either. So the Rambam notes that ultimately, even according to the idea of Besheret, maybe you have to be worthy of your Besheret. Maybe there's a woman who's designated for you if you're going to reach your full potential, so you'll have this Besheret. But you have to be worthy. There's always the idea that we believe in Tzvah Onish and B'chiv HaChavshis of Eim Zagin Odom Elofim Asav. So Rambam talks about that towards the end of his Hakdama to the Shemona Prakim. But still the idea of Besheret, it means something. It means that at the very least, that you have to have a level of bitachon in the process, a level of bitachon that you do your shadlus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises what you might call a greater measure of hashgacha pratis when it comes to shidduchim. Sometimes that greater level of hashgacha pratis means that it will be challenging for a person. It's supposed to be more of a challenge, like the Gemara Gimel says, one of its examples of Besher, Delilah, that Shimshon had a wife who wasn't so good, but that was considered to be his Besher on some level. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik as saying that maybe we can learn from the Medrash that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu created many worlds in Machariban and destroyed them before he created this world, to mean sort of this idea that we understand that we're supposed to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that sometimes it has to be for a person a particularly difficult process. For some people it's going to be very easy. Some people, it might be that it will take a long time until they find the Besher. It could be that even in a relationship that's intended to be the right relationship, there might be some bumps in the road, and maybe you'll end up going, you'll need to go out a lot of times, or go out, break up, and then go out again before you have the appropriate appreciation that the person is for you. So it's a combination, really, of hishtadlus. You need hishtadlus in everything, but anokhi Hashem Elokecha, that there's a notion of me'ashem yotza adover, that you also have to have bitachon. You have to be talking also that Kodesh Baruch Hu provides you with a framework for the process. So you look at the examples of our avos. How do they meet their Besher? So you see what processes are considered to be legitimate. There's the process of Yitzchak, that you rely primarily on a shotgun, and then there's the process of Yaakov, that you meet somebody at some sort of a social event that's been approved by the Yerosh Yeshiva. So both of these are considered to be legitimate processes, but you have to, you have to go within the framework of the Torah in terms of what the process is going to be. I saw when I was reading all the parashiyos of how the Yitzchak met, the Yaakov met, and Moshe Rabbeinu met, that there was always a bear, there was always a well. So I was going up a long time to know what was missing. I realized I could have to find some girl who would like to offer me water. So I went to some event that was being sponsored in the Upper West Side at one point, and I met my wife, and she offered me seltzer. I said, "Oh, this is it. This is the girl for me." So you have to look at the Torah framework in order to exercise your shtadlus. Maybe even the Gemara that talks about Achi Arena, that you wait until you see the woman. So maybe that also is part of the hishtadlus, that you have to see if there's a connection. The Gemara in Nida and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says, Shalot Tamidus Rabbi Dustai Rabbi Yonai. The Tamidim of Rabbi Dustai asked him, "If Ma'ish Mechaz Alisha and Ma'ish Mechazer Alisha." It's a general rule. It's the man who pursues the woman, not the other way around. At least the woman makes it look that way. So Mashali Adam She'Aved Lo Aveda. This is comparable to a man who has lost an Aveda, Mimakazami, who looks for the Aveda, Baal Aveda, Machzir al Aveda. We know Kimeishu Kachazos, that Chava was taken from Adam. So there's this notion that with every single man, that there's like, every single man is kind of like an Adam searching for his Chava. He's searching for that missing piece. He's searching for the missing piece that there's an Aveda. So you sometimes say every Aveda has Simonim. So you look at a woman and you interact with a woman. So every single man knows what the Simonim are that he's looking for. And there are certain Simonim that give you a sense that this is a person who's clearly not for me, that there's something that repels you, so you know that it's not, it doesn't mean the person's repulsive. It just means that it's not your Simonim. And then sometimes the Simonim come together and you realize that this is the right person. Like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, that it's not necessarily natural for two people to come together except for the notion of a man and a woman. A Kadosh Baruch Hu created two hairs. There will be Yotzer Adam that will be together to become a whole. So you have to look at the simonim of everybody has a sense of exactly what they're looking for in terms of personality, in terms of a person's appearance. So it is meaningful on some level in terms of simonim. The other level of where you combine the world of Ishtadlus with the world of Bitachon is that you're supposed to daven for a Shidduch. We believe that davening is part of the Tevo, or order of the spiritual universe. Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to your tefillos. Sometimes you daven for a particular woman and it doesn't work out. It means Kadosh Baruch Hu is answering your tefillos, saying this woman's not for you. You have to take that as a sign in a Shemayim as well. So, but you have to daven for a Papa Shidduch. That's what the Gemara says. Alzos yis palel alecho kol chasid le'es mitzoh. It's a pasuk in Tehillim that everybody should daven le'es mitzoh zu isha. This is a reference to having a proper wife. So I saw in the Sefer Binyan HaDayat, it's written by one of my relatives of Yoel Schwartz. He has this wonderful Sefer Binyan HaDayat, talks about dating, marriage, everything. So he says that le'es mitzoh teaches you, number one, you daven that you should find the right woman, and number two, you daven that you should find her at the right time. You should figure out the right time to get married. Sometimes a person puts off getting married because they feel they're not ready. And then this wonderful shidduch is presented to them. Sometimes it's a sign in a shemayim that it's time for you to get married, time for you to date, because this great shidduch was presented to you. There's also a sign sometimes of leis mitzvah. You have to look at the messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the second commandment is what? Is lo saseh lecha, that you shouldn't make the lo saseh lecha pesel v'chol tmunah, and that you have to look for the right simonim. You have to look for the right simonim. You have to beware of being overly obsessed with beauty, with external appearances, and being obsessed with money. I remember speaking to one of my chaverim once, and we were talking about, we were both single at the time, and he said that money was important to him. I said, money? I never like looked at money. I figured, I'll make money. What do I need to look at the other ones? He said that if he had two girls, one had a lot of, they were both the same in all respects, and one, you know, had money, and the other person didn't have money, so he would go for the one with money. So I don't know, is that really correct? So you have to really beware. That's not, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. So with respect to looks, so you'll say, oh, but it says with Yaakov, he was attracted to Rachel. But as the Vilna Gaon points out, it doesn't mean that looks are irrelevant. We say that there's a certain simon to be attracted to a woman, but at the same time, Sheker Achem Ve'evel Yopi, Shayi Rasa Shem Tisalal. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean that Yopi is meaningless. It means that it's Chayin and Yopi are Sheker Ve'evel if they're not accompanied by Yiras Hashem. But if it's accompanied by Yiras Hashem, so then it's something which, you know, could be enhanced through the Yiras Hashem. If you don't have Yiras Hashem, so then you don't have anything. A Jewish woman's good looks are based on the Chayin and the Yopi of her Yiras Shemayim. As Rosh Hashanah says, Jewish good looks are not necessarily the secular world's good looks. It's a good look that a person has because there's a certain chayim that they have from being a Yorei Shemayim that enhances their appearance. The Meiri has a comment. It's so interesting. Who knew that the Meiri is kind of like a poet? Like you think of the Ibn Ezra as somebody who has like these clever poems from time to time. You don't really necessarily think of the Meiri in those terms. But there is a comment that the Meiri has in Sefer Mishlei. He says, Al tikach isha la osher o la yofi, ki halok yelech v'yishar hadofi. Really? Everyone quotes this, huh? So he says that you shouldn't search out a woman because of her riches or her appearances, because that's all going to go away, and then only the blemishes are going to remain. As the Gemara Baruchos says, that nisha yipas tor, you have a wife who's good-looking, as ma'achi, as daito shalodom, it expands a person's das, but that could be tarti mashma, that it could expand in a good way, it could expand in a bad way. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that if you're using it for a shmira seinayim, to protect your eyes. You shouldn't look at other people. So then it's okay, but you have to, you know, it has to be something which is channeled in the right direction. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chuf Dalet has the story that somebody felt that their wife wasn't good looking, so they went to Rav Yitzchok ben Elyashiv and complained. Yitzchok ben Elyashiv made a tefillah, and then overnight she became gorgeous. She became extremely good looking overnight. So then she started to lord it over him. Ah, you know, you're such a shlemiel. Look how good looking I am. You know, I'm so much better than you. Then he went back to Rav Yitzchok ben Elyashiv and said, "Can you turn her back?" He said, "Yeah, no problem." So then the So with respect to mammon, with respect to money, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin says, "Konosa Yishu L'Shei Mammon Avyan Bei Badim Shenim Hugadim." If you marry a woman for these types of external reasons, you'll end up having children who weren't brought up with the right value system, mammonim avad, and then you won't end up having the money either. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Beis and Eben Ezer, talks about how you shouldn't marry an isha psula mishum mammon. You shouldn't marry a woman who's prohibited to you. She's a mamzeres, so she's a grusha. It's good to marry a kohen, and you're only marrying her for money. But if she's otherwise kashera, she's permitted to you. So then you can marry her for mammon. That's the ribosh. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that you shouldn't, if you marry the woman and they promise you, you engage to a woman, and they promised her a big dowry, and now the family can't afford the dowry anymore, so you should marry her anyway. So the Vilna Gaon says that second day is arguing with Ribosh. That second day is saying that even if the woman is permissible to you, you still should not marry her for money. You should never marry a woman for money. That's if you would not marry her, but for the, you know, if not for the fact that she has money, so that's considered to be improper. Those are improper simanim. Those are what we call lo sasa l'chafesa v'chol t'munah. Those are the improper simanim. What are the real simanim? What are the proper simanim you should look for when you're dating? So the real simanim are, I'm also speaking from the perspective of a married man. I've been married to my wife for 22 years. And I looked at her first, made sure that I was pleased with what I saw. But the main asset in the marriage is the fact that she's a baal chesed. When I was asked what I'm looking for, I said, "I'm looking for somebody who's warm. I'm looking for somebody who's warm, a warm, nice person. That's what I'm looking for." So I remember it was this event. We mamish met an event. Am I allowed to say that? We met an event. You know, it was on the Upper West Side. Rabbi Schwartz, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, put together had the event in his shul, and you were supposed to write down the five qualities that you're looking for. So we both walked in at the same time. The Kodesh Baruch Hu had us both work in at the same time. So I'm filling out the form, and my wife at now she's my wife. At that time, she was just a young lady. So she turned to me and she said can you tell me the five terms that you're writing down in terms of what you're looking for, so I know the five terms to write down in order to describe myself. So she went, okay, that was a good lie. So the real simanim that you're supposed to look for are rachmanim b'shadim gomlei chasadim. You should look for, like Yitzchak looked for, a woman who would be a baalas chesed. There's a statement in Chazal in the Gemara in Tainus, "Kol v'sman she'ineh yokos ein kol gufa tzvicha b'dika." If a woman has nice eyes, so then you don't have to check the rest of her body. What kind of a statement is that? The Gemara does talk about bumin, there are terrible blemishes, so then you can't, that's considered to be repulsive already. But the Kli Yakov says it's not talking about physical blemishes. It means if a woman has good eyes, she has chesed, she has an ayin tova, that she has a kind disposition, so you don't have to check her out any further. So the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Mem Tes says they look for a bas tamah chacham. Bas tamah chacham is more likely to have the siman. But the Binyan Adayat quotes to the name of the Chazon Ish, as the Chazon Ish said, nowadays any woman with a good Jewish education, so she's considered to be a bas tamah chacham. That makes you a bas. You have to look at the father per se. She had a good Beis Yaakov education. She went to Central, whatever. She had good schools that she went to. So that's considered went to Stern. So that's considered to be that she's muksekis, that she's taught good midos. Hollywood is not a recipe for a successful marriage. Just look at how long marriages last in Hollywood. So that's true sheker v'hevel. That sheker doesn't have any requirements. So those marriages don't work. But Baron Feldman, in his book, A River, a Kettle, and a Bird, right? So he wrote a little bit about dating and marriage. So he's the Baron Feldman Shlita is the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael. He says there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Akinah Matayva Bekoven Motzina Sod Min Olam. If a person has in mind, I want to marry a girl who's going to make a good impression, that's kina, that he doesn't wants people like to be jealous of him instead of being jealous of other people. I want to make a good impression on others. Taiva is that he only cares that she has like Hollywood glamorous looks. kavod, that she should have money, she should have other assets, be a virtuoso piano player, whatever. If that's what you're looking for, you know, in a woman, that's motzina sa adam min ha'adam. You're supposed to look for, in terms of a Jewish wife, is that she should have chesed, she should have tznius, she should have rachmanos, those that she should be warm. Those are the things that you should look for. And then you have the chayim, that's the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Zayin, says chayim ishal baila, that a woman who has these attributes, so she grows in beauty to her husband, because these bring out the beauty of her neshama, brings out the beauty of her guf. Remember, marriage is supposed to be for eternity. You're not only marrying a girl for while she's going to be in her 20s and 30s. You're marrying her when she's going to be in her 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, 110s, you know. So she's not always going to be like, you know, necessarily a Hollywood, you know, movie star. You know, she starts out that way. You're marrying someone where ultimately, even when all that's left is the neshama, you have to marry Esam Shana, then you should love the neshama. The Gemara talks about Adam and Chava being loving towards each other in the kever. What does that mean? It means that the real beauty is in the neshama. For Avraham Avinu, the Yifas Torah aspect of Sarah, as we're told when they went to Mitzrayim, was something he hadn't even noticed. It was completely extraneous, certainly in terms of what others might have thought of her. She had chayin to him, but he didn't think that that anything else mattered. The only thing is that as a matter of simon, if there's something that repels you about the looks, there's something in the nose, the mouth, the face, whatever, something that repels you. So it doesn't mean she's repulsive. No basi saw is repulsive. It just means it's a simon that you're not going to be able to fulfill v'yavta l'reicha kamocha with this person. So you look for the next person, but they don't have to be a beauty queen. The beauty is brought out from the fact that she has a beautiful nesham. The third commandment, the third of the Aseret Hadibros, is lo sisa. How am I going to work with this one? So it means lo sisa Hashem alkecha l'shav, that you shouldn't ignore the fact that this is the Hashem Elkecha is involved with this. That this is a spiritual pursuit. That Kiddushin is a Lashon Hekdesh. So therefore, you have to think of when you're going out with a girl, you have to think about the Ruchnias in life. This is for your ultimate fulfillment of how to bring out your Ruchnias. The Stipel Gaon says that a person doesn't learn Torah on the highest possible level until they're married. This brings out the greatest fulfillment of Torah learning. When you go out with a woman, you have to think, the way that I would put it is, you have to think not, is this the person I want to marry, but rather, is this the person I want to be married to? What do I mean by that? You have to think to yourself, is this the person that I would enjoy being in a car with, that we're driving to a simcha? Is this the person I would enjoy driving home from the simcha? Is this the person I would enjoy sitting at the Shabbos table and having a conversation about the parasha? Is this the person I would enjoy going shopping with? Is this the person that as we're buying, you know, Shabbos food? Is this the person that I would enjoy raising children with? Is this the person I would enjoy talking about building a house of Torah and mitzvos together with? And if when you think about those things, say, no, that's not necessarily what I like about her. I like about her that she makes me feel good because she looks so nice. Then you realize something is wrong. When if you have the thought process in your head it's going to be so enjoyable to, you know, be sitting around and making a Shabbos meal and sitting around the Shabbos table with this person. So then you're on the right track. It's like the Rambam talks about Kenei L'Chachaber. You should purchase a friend for yourself. It's the best friend you could purchase for yourself. It doesn't even cost so much. Like, you know, just a small little ring without anything in it. You know, is your wife. He talks about there's a person that you love, Oev Toelis, because you're like a partner, you're in a business transaction together. The business transaction is over, the friendship is over. This Oev Menucha, that you love a person because they make you relaxed. Either you enjoy, you know, watching football with them, or you feel comfortable, that's Oev Hana, or you're an Oev Bitachon, that you enjoy, that you feel you can confide in the person. And the ultimate, highest level is Oev Mala. You both have the same lofty goals and ambitions and ideals with each other. That's the greatest type of friendship. So really, with a wife, you should have all of the above. But the ultimate love that you should have, that the ultimate connection should be Oy Mala, that you both share the same spiritual aspirations. The fourth of the Divros is Zachos Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesh. What does that have to do with dating? So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it says in the Pasuk in Rus, Naomi was advising Rus about how she should dress for her date with Boaz. Boaz didn't know he was going on a date, but Rus knew. So she said, "V'sabsim losayek alayek yirata goin." Put on your nice clothes. The Gemara says it's what begotten shal Shabbos. She told her go dress in your Shabbos clothes. So Shabbat always says when you go out, you should dress in your Shabbos clothes. whatever your Shabbos clothes are, you wear a nice white shirt, jacket, tie, whatever, you should dress. Again, Shabbos, there are different forms of dress. You know, you're in shul, so you're wearing your hat and you're tying your jacket when you're eating your meal. Maybe you take off the jacket, maybe you take off the hat, you know. I mean, my boys and some of the other yeshivas, they wear the hat the entire meal. But, you know, but whatever, there are different, you know, modes of dress, you know, even on Shabbos, but you should be at your best. What's the idea of being at best? Because not that you're lying about yourself, but you should be at your best and your most refined in order to aspire to be your best self. And the idea is that you aspire to be your best self and to have a person who's going to bring out the best self in you. That's why we talk about, the Gemara says that a woman in Chava was Ezer Kenegdo, right, of Adam. So the Gemara says, Zohar, Nazdal Ezer. If you're Zohar, so your wife will be an Ezer and help. And if you're not lo Zohar, then Kenegdo. Then she'll end up being Kenegdo. Like, it sounds like a joke a little bit. Then she'll be against you, you know. So some of the Baali must explain, no, she'll be both. That if you're doing the right thing, then Ezer, she'll say, go, keep on doing it. And lo Zohar, you're not doing the right thing, Kenegdo. She knows how to give you Musar. You got to find somebody who's going to bring out the best in you, who's going to give you, you know, Musar, gentle Musar, of course, in the right and constructive way. So you'll be the best person that that you can be. Somebody who's going to advance you, you know, in terms of who you're going to be. And the other thing is that Shabbos is Mi'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos, the entire week, we count toward Shabbos. So it should be a woman that you admire, that you would say, oh, this is, you know, the ultimate ideal that a person should be. They should be like my wife. So you should find somebody whom you're not only attracted to, but you should somebody who you actually admire. Somebody you admire, the big, a real Baalas Chesed, something you can admire. Now, the Beis HaLevi points out in Parshas Chayisov, part of being a Baalas Chesed is having the Chochmah of being a Baalas Chesed. So, you know, even though the Gemara in Yavama says, Nochus Dargah Nasib Issesah, that you go down one step in order to marry a woman. You don't have to marry a woman who's a rocket scientist, who's as, you know, smart necessarily as you are in all respects, that she can learn a Tosfos as well as you can learn a Tosfos. I mean, she might be able to learn a Tosfos better than you can. That's also okay, you know. But a woman who should have, you know, chokmah in terms of how to be a good person. Chokmah nashim b'vansa besa. That's the type of chokmah that you should look for. A person who's thinking constantly, how can I be a better person? How can I, you know, be more sensitive in thinking? The next of the divos is kabed. We have 5 minutes. Okay, I got to go to a lot of divos quickly. Kabed es avicha v'esimecha. So there's a notion of what is kibud av v'em all about. It's about having respect for the Mesorah that your parents are bringing to you. So there's a certain Mesorah that people have as well in terms of what they're used to. There's a Yalkut Shimoni that says, Ashimi Shishto Miro. Fortunate is a person who marries a woman from his city. I just said that Yalkish basically be Mikakas Basli, but even as I said, they were from different cities. Yeah, but they were both from Sheva Levi. A connection. Should have a commonality. You have a commonality with a woman, generally it works out better because I think there's sort of like a Yiddish expression, I know in the Yiddish, that, you know, better to marry someone with flaws that you recognize than someone, you know, whose flaws like you never even dreamt about. So, you know, there is an advantage of finding, you know, as we say, a basgilo, somebody who has similar experiences. You can marry somebody who's completely culturally different, but it might be good advice. There's the famous Ma'arik that says that... you don't have to listen to your parents. If they say, if they're not going to let you marry the woman you want to marry, or they want to force you to marry a woman that you don't have to marry, that you don't want to marry. So the Gra says, if they're going to, you know, not let you marry the woman that you want, so that's like they're asking you to violate the Torah, because the Torah says get married. It means marry a woman that you want to get married to. And also, it's not that there, it's not, kibud av v'em only involves things that, are taking, you know, from them. That if they have resources, use their resources to help them. But here you would have to take your own resources. You would have to actually cause yourself physical pain and discomfort and unhappiness to marry someone you don't want to marry. So you're not obligated to do that. And also, it's not something that's servicing them. This is something for yourself who you marry. However, nonetheless, the Netziv and the Meshiv Dover says you shouldn't marry somebody who's going to cause a bizarre to your parents. That your parents brought you up a certain way with certain Torah values. To marry somebody who doesn't have those values at all, marry a prutza, so that's not proper. That's considered to be a bizarre. So then the parents do have a say in all of this. Yaakov Avinu was punished for not fulfilling kibud av v'em for 22 years. But he was just doing it because he had to spend 20 years to marry Rachel and to earn some money. So wasn't that a legitimate reason? So the Sifsei Chachamim has an absolutely astonishing comment. I don't know what to make of the comment. It's a Sifsei Chachamim in Parshas Vayeshev. beginning of in the Dibro Maaseh Yomim Rabbim, the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, he says, yeah, but he didn't have to, like, you know, he could have married Leah. That would have taken him 7 days. If he would have said he wanted Leah, they would have given him her to him right away. He could have gone straight back home. So what does that mean? That you get to marry the woman that you want to marry. So it could be the saying that maybe he didn't have to be so picky. He could have just married Leah. It would be good enough. I don't know. Maybe part of the idea is also that if he was really just doing the hiddur mitzvah of marrying, you know, a woman, we felt, you know, he would be able to have more abba for and so forth. It was only for the hiddur mitzvah. So then he should have maybe come back home right away. I don't know. Sakasha, but it's a very interesting comment by the Sifsei Chacham. The essence of the mitzvah of Kippur Aveim is Hakaras HaTov. So it's the same thing that you have to have Hakaras HaTov, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you something. I have to tell you a very important yesod in dating. Sometimes you'll be going out with a girl who's fantastic in every way. Like, you know, you're young and it's hard for you to sort of commit yourself to somebody and you find like a little flaw. Remember, Lo Nina Tolam Al V'Yasharis, that we're not like ministering angels over here and people can't be like made up, you know, like they do in the movies, which isn't true anyway. And a person can't be always so perfect that everything that they say, everything has to be so witty and everything has to be so thoughtful. I mean, even very, very good people, they make mistakes. They're flawed. It's part of being human. But you have like someone who's tremendous and it's just like you have some sort of a hang-up that you need therapy for, that you can't get over your pursuit for perfectionism or whatever. But really, you have a wonderful, wonderful girl, and so you have to realize that, and she's interested in marrying you, that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't take that for granted. If you're going to reject her and then, you know, realize that it's who you really want, a year later, she might be married to somebody else already. So you have to have a Karas HaTov for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, and take advantage of that Karas HaTov. To recognize, like we said at the beginning of this year, that the Torah was given to Moshe like a kala to a chasan as a matana, that it's really very much a matana, and you shouldn't reject the matana. The Stifel Gaon had a fellow who came to him and was complaining that he can't find his beshert, and he's like, you know, in Alta Bacher already. And the Stifel said, your beshert came and you rejected her. You said that her nose was too long. So you have to recognize that's also part of what we learn in Kippur Aveim. It's a proper sense of Hakaras HaTov. Okay, but Tirtzach, you shouldn't kill anybody. Okay, so don't kill your date. But you should also be kind to her. You shouldn't be malbim b'nei chaveyo b'ravim. Understand that she's a girl and women tend to be much more sensitive. So don't make, you know, jokes, you know, that make her feel bad. You have to be very careful about that. From Gedaliah Schwartz, that's how I used to say, girls and women's not a chavusa. The chavusa in the base medrash, so like you have fun insulting each other, but a woman, you know, you can't treat like a chavusa. You have to be very, very careful and do that and considerate. And lo tirtzach also means don't enter into a relationship where you're going to hurt somebody. Lo tirtzach also, you don't want to, as the medrash says, you don't want to hurt yourself. You have to check out the genetic compatibility, make sure that there aren't mental flaws that would be very bad, that you both might carry a certain genetic a deficiency that could be bad for children. So the Gemara indicates you shouldn't get into a sick bed. You have to be careful about that as well. That's also part of Lo Tirtzach, of making sure that you're setting up the marriage for success. You should be tested genetically and make sure that you have compatibility in that regard. Lo Tinuk, you shouldn't commit adultery. That also means that there's a Chayim Derbein and Gershom aspect of relationships. You really shouldn't go out with more than one girl at once. Rabbi Willick said that to me when I was dating. He said, okay, so it's not being married to more than one woman, but you should do one at a time, really. And Lo Tinuk also means that you shouldn't continue a relationship with a woman or enter into a relationship with a woman if you know that you would never marry her. If you know in your heart of hearts you would never marry her, so you shouldn't, it's not right for you to lead her on. That's also improper. And obviously, Lo Tinuk also teaches you that there are rules that have to be followed even when you're dating. Rules of yichud, rules of not touching. So you, ein l'chayafim min atznius. The best relationships are those that are tzanua relationships. And you shouldn't look at other women when you're dating when you're dating one woman. If you decide not to continue with her, so then you can think about other women. But otherwise, you should just focus on her. Lo tignov, that's lo tignov. You shouldn't you shouldn't steal. What does that mean that you shouldn't steal in the context of this relationship? It means that you have to bear in mind the bein adam lachabero. Lo tignov means you have to bear in mind the bein adam lachabero aspects of the relationship, and that you have to be giving. Reb Dessler said that the root of Abba, right, is Hav. that in order to really establish a law for somebody, you have to give to them. He quoted from the Maseches there of Eretz Zuta. It says that in Chafes Atal Hidabek Behavas Chaberka. So then the way to do that is Have Nose Venose Mitovaso. If you really want to love somebody, so like a mother loves a child by giving to the child, you have to give to the person. When you give to the person, when you love them. A person has a need for their wife to be a Hollywood starlet if they're not giving of themselves. If you're, you know, making yourself look really nice and thinking, oh, how am I going to be well-groomed so that my, you know, so that this girl will, you know, have a nice time, will feel good to be with me, so then that will be sufficient in order to create that connection of attractiveness between you and the woman that you won't need for her to be so glamorous herself. The reason you might need it yourself is because you're not giving sufficiently to her of yourself. So that's also something that you should bear in mind. I always like to quote from the Rashi, Vayeta Halo. That it says, Vayeta Halo, when Avram pitched the tent, it says, Halo with the hay at the end. Which means he pitched her tent, Sarah's tent, before he pitched her own tent. So I always used to say, you have to open up the door for the girl before you open up the car door for yourself. That you always have to make sure that you're giving precedent to the woman you're dating, that she should come first. You sit down in a restaurant, you should always make sure to have her eat. I made that mistake with my wife. I thought that, like, it's not classy to give her something to eat, you know, because, like, you know, that's an easy way to do a date. You should, like, think of a more creative date. But I was really hungry. So I said, let's, like, stop in this place because I just need to, like, order something because, you know, I'm just starving. And I just, like, didn't think of ordering something for her. And she loved me so much that she, you know, agreed to continue to go out with me. But, like, she reminds me about this. So you have to make sure that you have to offer her to eat. Right? Okay. I have no idea what possessed me. That's not really like me. I just don't think so. But anyway, the other, so what comes afterwards? Losan Evreyecha Echakir. You have to be honest afterwards. When people are asking you, you go out with somebody and people ask you, the Piskei Tshuva says that people are so careful not to speak, you know, Lashon Hara when it comes to matters where you really have to give an honest assessment, so you're not going to waste the people's time. And people speak Lashon Hara all the time and they're not allowed to. So when it comes to Shidduchim, you're supposed to speak honestly about somebody, but that doesn't apply to you. That applies to, like, the Rebbeim who know the person and so forth. That's their job. It's not your job because you're always going to be no gay of a dover. Sometimes you might not give a good recommendation to a woman, to a young lady you dated because you really liked her very much and she broke off with you and you don't want her to go out with anybody else. And sometimes you might just be angry at her because she broke up with you. So you shouldn't be involved in that. And you also shouldn't pawn off somebody. You go out with a woman and you feel bad that you couldn't continue the relationship because you didn't like her. So you say, okay, well, I'll give her over to my friend, even though you don't really think that she's good for your friend. So if you're going to set up a woman or advise the shadchan to set up this lady with a different friend, you should make sure that you think that, you know, that you really think that it's appropriate. But you have to be careful not to say anything negative about a person you dated because you might be a nogei b'dover. It is appropriate for other people to give those assessments, but in my opinion, not you, not the person who went out on the date. Last of the Aseres Adibos. I'm sorry, we're a little bit over. It's okay, you did though. Okay, last of the Aseres Adibos. Los Achmon, don't covet. Which means you see a woman that's married, you shouldn't say, I want to marry that woman. Yeah, that would be very bad. But you also shouldn't say, I want to marry a woman who looks and acts just like this woman, because that's also Los Achmon, to say, that's Los Achmon, Yopia Bilbavecha, Pasuk and Mishle. You're not supposed to even if you're not going to take the woman, you can't say, I want to marry a woman just like that. But you can say, I want to marry a woman who has, like, a chemda daraisa, like the Zohar says, who has these mitos tobos, who has these good attributes. Ultimately, bottom line is that you should recognize, Me'ashem Yotza Dover, that it's a holy process, and you have to act in a holy fashion, and you have to have a sense of respect for somebody that you're dating. You have to try to find somebody who's going to bring out the best in you. You have to look primarily for chesed and for spiritual qualities. And then we say at the Sheva Brachos, Sameach T'Samach Re'im Ahovim K'Samecha K'Yitzircha V'Gan Eden M'Kedem, that there should be a happiness like our ancestor, original ancestor, Adam HaRishon, had happiness with Chava in Gan Eden. Why was he so happy with Chava? Anybody know? Why was Adam so happy with Chava? He was happy with Chava because he didn't have any other choices. So he knew that she was definitely the one for him because there wasn't an alternative. So that's the attitude that you have to have, that you go out with somebody, you see that they have good mitos, that they're a Baal Chesed, there's nothing repulsive, you can build on that relationship, and then you have to have the attitude that this is the only one for me. That's why he explains of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Rabbi Akiva says that there's grounds for divorce. If Rabbi Shammai says, you divorce your woman, your wife, Eber's daughter, she cheated on you. Basil says she burned the children. And Rabbi Akiva says, if you found, you know, somebody was pretty, what's going on over here? They're so pro-divorce. You just divorce a woman on a whim. So the idea says, with Yaakov Kamenetsky, that you have to view this woman as an extension of yourself, that you couldn't possibly live without her. If you burn the chon, you're not going to get upset at yourself. You understand, okay, sometimes I burn a chon. So you view your wife, you know, in such a dispensable way that you could be upset at her because she burns the chon. So you don't have the right attitude to his marriage. You have you view your wife in such a way that you can look at another girl on the street, you can look at another woman on the street after you're married. So it's not a marriage. A real marriage is that you wouldn't even dream of looking at anybody else because this is the only one for you, because you have to have that level of appreciation. So I give everybody a bracha that you should all be zochet to build batim ne'emanim Israel, L'shem, L'siferis, and I hope that this dating shiur will be of some help.